Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are here again for yet another episode where we are going to delve into our message for our sermon rewind. We're so glad you are tuned in. Antonio here. I'm here with
Pastor Joel.
Here with Pastor Joel. We're so glad that you are here. I want to encourage you, as always, like, subscribe, stay tuned all the way through, comment, ask questions. Today we're going to be getting right into it as we are going to go. We had a great minister, our own. Well, he's that in between of a guest, right? I introduced him this weekend as Uncle Mike Keys because he's a big brother to the house and an uncle. And really, he's been coming to the house over 30 years.
Yeah.
And man, he has an amazing work.
But in the Philippines, they recognize him as Daddy Mike.
Daddy Mike. So you, Pastor Joel, have gone to their compound, their ministry there in Mindanao, Philippines.
Yeah, me and Pastor Dan went 2019. We did a conference of all the churches that he's connected with.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was eye-opening and wonderful. I fell in love with the people there in Mindanao, and they're doing a great work.
Yeah. You know?
So, when you said uncle, those that know,
yeah,
were like, oh,
well, it's actually Daddy Mike,
Daddy Mike,
because he's like a spiritual father to many.
He's a spiritual father, and I call him a family member,
right?
When because that's what he is.
Yeah,
you know, he's very grounded and understands, and he calls this his home church,
mm-hmm.
Even though he's pastoring in Arizona and doing work in the Philippines. I always like him. He always he said it this way. I bring to the table like a militant message, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be when you're in the mission field like that, because adversity, he's confronted with everything. When we went, we were looking at a horizon at another small little island. Mm-hmm. And he says, I won't go to that island because if I show up, they'll kill me.
Wow.
So there's that type of warfare within the proximity of where he's ministering.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, but, you know, I always know that he does an amazing job in encouraging the people, but with this no-nonsense message.
Yeah. Right? Well, so this week, we got into... Well, really, we can narrow down to some essentials in our Christian faith, right?
Right.
And he based it. I want to read the scripture that he really took this idea from, and I think it kind of launched the rest of the essentials that he gave us.
Right.
But in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's saying, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." And he really launched everything from there because it kind of gave him the rest of these essentials that, hey, this gospel that we have, we've been entrusted with.
Right.
And we got to steward it and we got to manage it. And he gave us some of these things that we can do with. So any thoughts,
bat? Well, you know, right off the top, I mean, it's amazing how God would trust us with anything.
Yeah.
Yet he trusts us with the gospel.
Right.
And that's how we kicked off the message was, you have something precious that the Lord has given you that he has sacrificed for, right? Giving up his son for humanity. And it's just not anything. It's more valuable than gold,
right.
More valuable than any commodity whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that entrustment to me always puts me in check,
right?
You know, because it's not just we're reading a library book,
right?
We're not just opening up a message of a well-known author. This is a life-rescuing, eternal message
mm-hmm.
that we, as every Christian, been entrusted with.
Yeah. So, you know, the gospel is this, the good news. We have the good news. We have the keys. We have the solution. We have a roadmap. You know, we have all this message here that's in front of us as believers. And because we are entrusted, that word entrusted also speaks to, has a weight to it, because I hear it as, because you're supposed to do something with it.
Yeah.
Right? When you entrust something under someone's care, it's not just so you can, hey, I want to leave this with you. Don't let anybody see it. It's a secret. But rather, and that's what the charge was, that, man, we have a responsibility to do something with this, right? We're going to be stewards.
We do. Pastor Jimmy used to say it this way: we love you enough to tell you the truth. Well, the truth is, the matter is, once you've been given the gospel, you've been entrusted to the gospel, you're going to be attacked for the gospel.
Right.
And he added that because we do not have this easy believism.
Yeah.
Theology.
Right.
You know, you come to Jesus and everything's going to be better. Come to Jesus, boy, everything's magically going to appear, go your way. There will be friction.
Yeah.
Because the gospel we've been entrusted with is a gospel that's against culture, against things that necessarily that are very difficult to overcome. When people come to the Lord and I meet them in the back at every service, we tell them, hey, look, you will be attacked for your faith. You've been given something very valuable. It's called mm-hmm. salvation. It's eternal. But make no mistake, you're going to be tested with it.
Yeah.
You know, so arm yourself with the word, get into community, get into this church, plug in. We always say it this way. If you don't have a church, hey, join our family.
Yeah.
But we're here to support you because yeah. we understand you're going to need encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need uplifting. If we don't tell them that we're giving them this false narrative of now that you come to Christ, boy, everything's going to just go your way.
Well, kind of segues into the other point that he made. He used words to make his points with ease. But that enlisted, this notion, again, he speaks very militarily.
Yes.
Militarily. Again, because that's his context, especially in the Philippines. But, you know, that we've been enlisted. And essentially, you know, we are soldiers in God's army, right? And so with an enlistment, there's responsibilities with that. So what are maybe some of the things that you think of, just because, you know, someone's listening like, well, I just became a believer. I'm following Jesus. Now you're telling me I'm a soldier in the army. What is it that serious? What is that, you know, to be enlisted for God?
Right. Well, I, you know, I have family members that are veterans that fought in real wars that have been decorated with medals. I have never been enlisted in the U.S. Army, but I do understand because of my family members and their language of what they use. Once you've enlisted, you're owned.
Right.
You right. give That's up good. Your rights.
Yeah.
You can't just, hey, I'm going to take a break or go on vacation. If there's a need for you to be somewhere, guess what? You're going.
Right.
And you get if you have a family, you're taking them with you. Or you're leaving them for a few months. So those kind of ramifications, the Bible is, somebody said it this way, it's a mistake to understand that the Christian life is like a war. They said, no. The Christian life is a war.
That's good.
So if you understand that, then that means that there is going to be friction, there's going to be attacks, there's going to be some negative responses towards your behavior to be righteous or push forward growth. And that kind of mindset, I understand, is a warrior mindset. Mm-hmm. A warrior mindset is, and the Bible speaks all over of what the warrior are, and he used actually Timothy to do that. Because once you're enlisted, that giving up is hard to do.
Right.
Right. And that's the truth we want to let people know. There is something you got to give up. They say, OK, coming to Christ is free. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the owning of what he's given you costs.
Yeah.
You know, good. And what's the cost? It could be adversity from your family members that don't believe. It could be friction within your own personal family because now God is instilling you some godly values or standards that you never did before. And mm. that's very, very difficult to sustain, especially when everybody's just used to being this way.
Right, right.
You know, and that's easy to do, to give in. Well, I grew up this way. This is our family values. This is what we decided to do. And we always do it that way. And here comes the gospel. And here comes this enlistment towards the gospel. Then you're having to say no to things that you said you were used to saying yes to.
Yeah.
And that's the friction many times. And then it's the personal stuff. You know, you just can't let your mind wander. You can't go do whatever you want. Can I accept Christ and go do whatever I want? Well, there are some ministers and false teachers that teach that.
Right.
Just adopt, carry the Bible, quote God. He's great. He's all full of love and goodness. But don't cause any friction.
Yep.
You know, and I don't understand that in the text of the scriptures.
Well, so we talked about, and then he went with each point we see in scripture where we're kind of getting these points. So I think these first couple that he mentioned were these charged, right? Like you're enlisted, you're entrusted, but then he shifted to some, I guess, what would be some warnings maybe, or some things to look out for as believers.
Yes.
As he transitioned, so that we don't find ourselves, he used the word entangled, right, or caught up, or you know, how I know you had a thought for that.
Okay, so I don't like, I loathe drama. So I don't, when there's drama, I'm not into drama. I don't like drama. I don't like to create drama. Those kind of things I protect myself with. So when you get caught up into things, you cause more problems. When you don't stay in your own lane, when you don't mind your business, when you're not taking care of what you need to and you're in everyone else's business, that ends up imploding and destroying you, because this drama that we create, I mean, we just had the holidays, and those are places where drama could ensue, like, right away.
Right, absolutely, you know, off the bat, yeah.
You know, because people get offended because you didn't serve them first, or they didn't get what you wanted, and all of a sudden these things that can't come into place. And what I liked about what Mike discussed was the soldier in active service doesn't entangle himself. Back to the military.
Yeah.
There was an assignment. There's orders. Your job is to stay away from everything that's against that plan and path.
So as believers, we need to see ourselves as on assignment, right? And then focus our eyes on the assignment, on the task, on serving God, and not get ourselves caught up in anything that is going to pull us away.
And that, but see, that's the problem, because most people don't understand their assignment.
Right.
If you don't understand my assignment, when I get enlisted, at least this is the way I understand it. When we enlist in the Army, someone enlists in the Army, they take you to boot camp. You pass all these rigorous tests and challenges. Then they push you into giving you orders.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be at this base camp, or they're going to ship you overseas. And then when there is an act of war or some assignment that's outside of that, they take you out of that. They give you an official document, and they said, okay, you're going to be executing this.
Right.
Okay, so our document as Christians is the Bible, and the Bible has ordered or charged us with certain things to do. But it's not just sitting in service and listening. There's actually sitting, believing, growing in faith, and executing our what God wants us to be as disciples, you know, as followers of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means I go to church, I give, I'm good to people. Well, that's part of the assignment. But we have to advance his kingdom. We have to deliver the good news to people that need it. We have to be able to be ready in season and out of season to be uncomfortable at times, which brings up the word endurance that he used. Endurance is that challenging word that no one wants to confront.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, starts the year off with, I want to lose this or I want to do this. And I see it because I see all these new people walking. And I'm thinking to myself,
yeah,
will they be here the right. half the
How
year?
How long will this last?
How long will your supposedly commitment?
Yeah.
The endurance is beyond that. Mm-hmm. You have the orders. You have the marching orders. The Bible's very, very clear on what we are to deliver. Then how long will you have the endurance and the wherewithal to be able to withstand the test?
Mm.
Time.
Right.
Adversity. Will you be the last one standing in your family when everybody says, I don't want to make a commitment to go to the house of the Lord no more?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I understand. I heard this podcast and they were getting my mind filled with God's not fair. So I believe we are serving an unfair God. I'm out.
Right.
And desert the faith. How will you endure those false doctrines? How will you endure life's challenges?
I wanted to ask you, because I think about, you know, again, with endurance, there's a level of resistance, right? Otherwise, it would just be a cakewalk, right? But you have to endure something, to endure hardships, to endure trials. There's an opposition that comes. Now, as believers, we understand, if you've been a believer for any amount of time, you understand there are hardships. Now, I would say Christians and non-Christians all have trials and tribulations they face. What is unique to believers is that our resolve in which we want to attack these oppositions or challenges is going to be a little bit different.
It is, but I'm convinced the more I grow in Jesus, it's not me who's actually doing it. Mm. It's Christ in me who's doing it. When I depend on me, I'm going to fail.
Right. It's good.
When I try to muster up enough energy to stay committed, or let's say, you know, I found Jesus the first of this year and I'm already being challenged and tested at work. I'm being challenged, tested with my family. It's not up to you. By grace, we're saved, not of ourselves.
Yeah.
The more we're inviting him in to what we're a part of in our life, the more that we become in him, the more solid and the more we're going to endure, because he endured everything.
Mm.
The Bible says,
yeah,
he endured everything, even on the death on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he made it and finished his race. So my goal is not to muster up enough energy, strength, wisdom, knowledge to be able to make it. My goal is to be fully engrafted in him to give me the strength to push through anything that's coming against me, because in him, I'm successful. In him, I'm healed. In him, I have the motivation. In him, in myself, I'm going to give up.
Right, right.
I'm going to give up. Well, as soon as hardship, as soon as the test, you know, I'm done. But God gives us that inside him. But it's not, we're Christians. Yes, our obedience qualifies us because we have to be obedient to the faith. But when we're tested, the Bible says, believe and receive what he's given us. And that it gives us the ability to withstand the test.
Well, then how would you say we kind of build up some muscle memory so that we don't go into problem-solving mode ourselves? In other words, how do we kind of build that in where we rely or lean into Jesus as our standard, right? Because it's one thing like, oh, no, you know what? I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to give this to God. But then what happens is, okay, I'm going to give it to God. It starts that way. Then the timeline still doesn't, like, well, you know what? God's taking too long. Let me just do this myself. Or, you know, we have to get into the practice of leaning on God. Some things seem easier to lean on God, you know, as people are walking with God. Oh, yeah, I can give my finances to God, but I can't give my relationships. Or I can give my relationships, but God, stay out of my finances. Or whatever it might be, parenting, your marriage, the different things that people have, there tends to be that toil, what would you say is a good exercise that we could do to build in dependence on God?
Okay, so first of all, you can't develop that type of mindset to where it's, remember, you're enlisted. You're not enlisted in your own army.
Right.
I'm not enlisted in my own faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not enlisted in my own qualification. I'm enlisted in God's kingdom.
Yep.
So the kingdom of God is different than me. So I got to get off the narrative of, it's, you know, I'm okay if you don't touch this or that. That's not enlistment. Enlistment says that if this is demanding of me, then that's where I need to head.
That's good.
I kind of, like Paul said, I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I've given up my rights as a Christian.
Yeah.
So a lot of Christians don't. They want to hang on to this ideology, and they want to hang on to this philosophy that I can give and take. There's biblically, there's no give and take.
Right, right.
Once we're enlisted, I give up my rights, ownership to the Lord. Well, that sounds like a cult. No, 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 no. No one's doing this by force. That's where the will comes in. Mm-hmm. I have to, there has to be buy-in to me.
Yep, that's so good.
What's the buy-in? What's your buy-in? If God gives you a better job, you're going to serve him. If that job dries up, you're going to stop serving him.
Right.
Then that doesn't sound like enlistment.
Right.
That means that if that well dries up, then God will take care of you some other way. If we believe him.
Yeah.
If we trust him. And the early disciples never had that choice. They were all in. And if they weren't all in, they'd die.
Yeah.
And that's why Reverend Mike has this militant idea, because if you even balk or hesitate,
yeah,
you're going to give the enemy anything. He's going to take you out.
Well, and he's gone through, like you've said, firsthand some of these attacks, some of these challenges. And it almost took that mindset to know, like, I don't have an option here. There is, we've burned our bridges. There is no going back. I can't, or burn the sails, I should say, because I'm focused. I'm Jesus is the only option. He's all I'm giving. And I think sometimes for our listeners, people watching, there's that sense in us that, like, hey, I'm giving this a shot. I'm trying this out. And I would venture to say we got to turn that up a notch and switch our thinking over to, this is long term. This is not a trial run. This is a lifelong commitment. I'm in. I'm enlisted through hardships, through enduring this, through understanding I'm going to avoid entanglements. And when challenges happen that would try to catch me up, I have to lean on God.
That's right.
I can't lean on. That's why the Bible's not on my own understanding. Because what I'll do is, in my own understanding, I'm going to find the way of least resistance.
That's right.
I'm going to go back to old habits. I'm going to go back to, well, hey, this way was hard. Because I always tell people, like, hey, keep it real with yourself. You know, life before Jesus wasn't easy. But at least it's not, I didn't have any hopes for anything else. And so sometimes, what would we tell ourselves when it would just seem easier to not have hope?
Well, I look at it in the context of relationships. If I look at it in the context of marriage, I'm not dating Christ. I'm married to him.
Right, right.
Dating is one way of looking at relationships. Once you're married, you're committed.
Absolutely.
So it's not like, okay, I didn't like the way she talks to me, I'm out. I mean, people do that,
yeah.
But that's not
right.
Healthy, and that's not a good marriage. It's the same with Christ. And the Bible uses that marriage language, Paul does,
yeah,
you know, to say we're not engaged, we're hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
There's investment here. There's mutual investment. And the life that I've lived with being married so many years like I have, there are times that are good times, and there's times that, you know what, I don't think it went my way, but I'm still committed,
right?
You know, or maybe I felt okay, I have an advantage now, but then I wake up the next morning and I feel disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. It's in relationship I'm in.
Yep, yep.
And it's long term, till death do us part. So if we look at the Christian life that way, if we look at a relationship with Jesus that way, it will help us with this. Whatever I see in front of me that I like or don't like, let's get that off the table. It is a long-term commitment that Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's committed, more committed than you realize, to make your spiritual life successful.
Right.
Because when you joined him at that altar, it's like joining someone at the altar of marriage.
Right. Well, and that goes to kind of his last point when he talked about being enlightened to some of these things, and not in the way of some Eastern mysticism type of enlightenment, but just really understanding, right, in the knowledge, being aware, finding ourselves in the know, right? So I would say the first couple points, he really kind of gave a charge. Then he gave us the warnings with the entanglement and being aware and making sure that we're enduring. Then I think he closed it off really well with this idea of, hey, all of this can be done if we're aware, if we're in the know, if there's the communication. I like
the word he used. Look at the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in the small stuff.
Right.
The bigger picture is in the horizon, down the road, boy, it's going to be beautiful, bright, and amazing. And we're promised heaven.
Yeah.
But we're going to endure hell here, going through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, sickness, disease, division, wars, whatever the world offers. And right now, the world's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a lot of negativity. I don't watch the news because of that. But I'm not sticking my head in the sand. But just because they're falling apart doesn't mean I have to fall apart, because the bigger picture is it's bright for us.
Right.
But we have to be committed to the end. It's bright for us, but I have to stay faithful to him. You know, it is amazing down the road, the blessings that if you stay faithful, because I have that lens now with now having grandchildren, I see the blessing on the Lord on me, but I see the blessing of the Lord because I've been committed and am committed to the end, so my children's children will be blessed.
That's good.
But if I cut and run.
Yeah, yeah, you miss out.
If I say, I don't want this, if I give it up and say, oh, you know what, this stuff's too hard, it is by yourself. If you depend on him by grace, if you can do all things through Christ, then the future looks bright, because there are benefits to every believer. But I always see these people cutting short.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, are you plugged in? Nah, I'm not doing. And then you hear their life story and it's falling apart.
Right.
And I always kind of invite them back. Hey, come be a part of the plan, that God won't throw you away or toss you aside. He's committed. But are you committed to him? And this is why this message of the five V's to me was a powerful, essential message to every believer.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pastor Joel, each week Pastor Ann will kind of announce the sponsor. And I would say this week's episode sponsor, this episode is sponsored by Breaking Free. Here we are. We're getting ready to start Breaking Free. Give us just a quick synopsis of what you can expect coming to Breaking Free and what it looks like.
Well, we said the mission statement, Breaking Free, is where God invests in you and others invest in you to be accountable, teachable, and healthy and free in the plan that he's given you. Obviously, in life, and we talked about a little bit today on the podcast, there's adversity.
Yeah.
People are wounded. People are hurting. People are broken. And Breaking Free was created out of that mission statement, to where God invites them to become like him. He said that, I am the one that will free you. I am the one that can heal you. I am the one that you need to fix you. Those essential things are in Breaking Free. In Breaking Free, we teach accountability to God and others. We have a system in place where people can and just become as they are, and God can get a hold of them. The Holy Spirit could enlighten them, fix them, charge them, because I really believe the only one that can do that well is Jesus Christ.
It's good.
He's the only one that sets captives free. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was 12 years old, he was in the temple saying, he reading the book of Isaiah, and he says, today this is fulfilled in your midst. And the fulfillment of that book of Isaiah he was reading is Jesus saying, I've come to set captives free.
So good, yeah.
That message of freedom is throughout the whole Bible, and that's why Jesus came. So for me, it's not just a program.
Yeah.
It's not just 8 weeks, although it is. It's just not the tools that we put. We put a spiritual tool belt on you, yeah. Prayer, journal, mm-hmm. accountability, phone calls. All those things are healthy and essential. But the secret sauce of breaking free is the Holy Spirit coming, Jesus coming, yeah. and setting you free.
I love that. You expect to hear from God. So again, there is still time, depending on when you're listening to this. What's the date on the
orientation starts the 25th of January. First class is the 28th of January.
Yeah.
Go online, scan the QR code. We'll welcome you in this journey of what I call intense discipleship.
Yeah. Stop holding. Mm-hmm. I love that. There's that inner healing, that inner work. It is work, but you're partnering with the Holy Spirit.
Partnering with the Holy Spirit, partnering with a person.
Yeah,
we don't let you kind of meander by himself. Right. It's not therapy.
Right. There's mentorship. There's partnership.
You know,
yeah.
It's God showing up and setting you free.
Yeah.
And we have a system that with a healthy track record over time.
Yep.
That has produced many, many good
and
things.
Thousands of people have gone.
Thousands, really, all over the world. So yeah. we're very, very happy to start this new year, and I hope you're happy to start this new year right. If you're challenged emotionally, if you're challenged spiritually, if you're even challenged with an offense, or you're harboring unforgiveness, or you're bitter, or you have some resentment, breaking free for you. If you want to just get your tools sharp, like prayer and journaling, and investing in more deeper into relationship with being engrafted in Christ, breaking free for you. So I don't like it early on when we were creating all this, or the Holy Spirit was doing it. I didn't want to pigeonhole anybody. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not, a wine bibber. You know, many, many people that come to Breaking Free have nothing to do with alcohol.
Yeah.
It's just the shedding of the old
so good.
That seems to be attached to us as believers because of our past.
Yeah.
Mindsets, unhealthy behaviors. One of the greatest success stories I've seen in Breaking Free is a guy saying, I almost had a legacy of failure following me for years.
Mm. Yep.
A legacy of failure. What does that mean? He goes, everything I put my hands on, I would fail. And I ended up in a failure position.
Wow.
Without money, no job.
Yeah.
Until God got a hold of me and connected the dots. And I asked him, well, what are you doing now? He goes, you would not believe what I'm doing now, because
yeah.
God freed my heart from this failure position that I was in. So we invite you. You're welcome. Thank
All
you.
Right. All right. We'll see you. We love you guys. Again, like, comment, subscribe, share the word. We'll see you next time. Take care.